Welcome to the Fast Casual QSR Web and Pizza Marketplace Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Perfecting Pizza Podcast hosted by Pizza Marketplace, where we help you perfect your pizza business. I'm Mandy Wolf Detweiler, the site editor for Pizza Marketplace. Today we're going to be talking about third-party delivery operations with Con Nguyen, founder of Texas-based Zalat Pizza. Con, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Zalat?
Certainly. My name is Con Nguyen. I am a restaurateur, actually kind of accidental restaurateur. I professionally started out as a corporate attorney. I practiced law for a while and then started doing more and more business things and started doing startups. But about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I took a little hiatus from work in between projects and started cooking and just went crazy with it. And 9 months later, found myself opening up a restaurant, and here it is, 10 years later, and we're about to open our 26th location.
26, wow, that's amazing. And you're based out of Dallas, are you in Dallas?
We are in Dallas. So in Dallas, we have 18 locations of Zalat Pizza, and then we have 6 in Houston. And we're about to open our 7th and 8th next couple months in Houston. And we have 2 spots that we have signed for in Austin, Texas, that will hopefully be up. You know, hopefully one will be up by the end of the year, but both should be up by first quarter of next year.
Okay. Well, let's get into the meat of our topic to get today. Third-party delivery has grown really big over the last few years with the onset of the pandemic. Why have you decided to go with third-party delivery companies rather than have your own drivers? Because you specifically use only third-party delivery companies. Is that correct?
That's correct. We actually, our history is not that we just chose third-party delivery companies. We kind of started them. For the purpose of getting rid of our drivers. So when I opened up Zalat, so I opened up a Vietnamese concept called Zalat first, and a pizza place opened up next door and they didn't make it. This was 2014. And so I took the spot over, jumping into the pizza business. And when we opened up in mid of 2015, you know, not knowing anything about the pizza business, I opened it up just like you would, that I've seen every pizza place do, which is you have your own in-house delivery drivers. So we started off selling our pizzas and with running our own delivery operation. And I would say within a day or two of running the delivery operation, I realized that I did not want to be in that business. Right? It is incredibly difficult to worry about the management of your own drivers, right? So basically, there's a cost factor too. We were paying the drivers as much as we were paying the cooks, and they would get tips on top of that. So basically, you're paying for a second kitchen, right? In terms of your driver force. So there's an incredible amount of cost to that. But I learned right away that, you know, I realized that all of the pizza chains, my comments and my team was, they're not restaurants, they're logistics companies. Right? So we were spending all of our time messing with and worrying about how to deliver the pizza. So, the quick way that I talk about this in terms of the issues with it is, imagine on a Friday night and you've got 10 drivers that you're paying for, right? So that's 10 cooks, basically, in terms of cost. 10 drivers that you're paying for, which is a heavy amount of drivers to get your pizzas out. What happens when the 11th pizza comes up or the 12th order and they're all out, right? And so the entirety of our shop every day was looking over to the warming station and seeing pizzas there. And just every single person in our shop was like, well, when are these guys going to come back? So, because those pizzas are dying right there. And, you know, past 10 minutes, somebody would have to get in their car. A lot of times it was me making the deliveries because somebody's waiting on their pizzas. And so I realized, you know, if you're going to concentrate on food quality and be a food first restaurant concept, you can't be running your own delivery operation because you're going to be delivery first in terms of it. You know, that's the only thing that you can afford to worry about. So after, I would say, probably 4 or 5 months of that, I started trying to figure out a better way to do this. And at right around that time, Uber had just come to town in Dallas and as a passenger service, right? So as a taxi service. So we set up a bunch of accounts with our corporate credit card on Uber and started using them as supplemental delivery operation. And we were calling the Uber drivers for passengers to our store, and I would walk out with a pizza and say to them, hey, we don't have a passenger. We just have a pizza. Would you mind delivering me this pizza? And they would just, you know, look at me dumbfounded. And I'm like, hey, nobody's going to throw up in your car. They're probably going to tip you on the other side. You remember Uber in the beginning days, they weren't taking tips, right? So which is, and Lyft was taking tips. So it was a big problem for them before they made the switch. But I could talk 3 out of 4 of them into taking the pizza. And the fourth one would cuss us out, right? Because there was a cachet in being an Uber driver at the beginning there. And I would get, what? I don't take food. I drive people, right? And then the other funny thing that happened, were interesting, I just, you know, wouldn't have anticipated, but a large percentage of the drivers would have religious questions for me, meaning, hey, I don't drive pork in my car. So if that's pork pepperoni, I'm not going to take it. But luckily, we only use all beef pepperoni. So it's all beef pepperoni and they would take it, which was the truth. But anyway, so after about, I don't know how many months we were doing that, and we were getting tired of getting cussed out by the drivers. So I put it on Facebook, and I just asked all my friends if anybody had any contacts to get into Uber corporate. And one of my friends, I used to practice law, so one of my friends, an attorney, had a relationship with the general manager of Uber Texas. And so I had a meeting with him over at my store, and I gave him the pitch. I'm like, hey, you got 10,000 drivers driving around the city looking for work. You got all these 10,000 restaurants at Dallas-Fort Worth where the proprietors would love to have another access, you know, another avenue for sales. We would love to do deliveries, but I've got no interest in doing this delivery piece. I'm paying you full fare to take my pizza that you're charging for the passengers right now, and I'm happy to pay full fare. Just get into this business, right? So he took it back to San Francisco, and about 3 weeks later, they called me up and said, hey, we have a piece of software that we're trying out here in San Francisco for flower deliveries. We think we can use it to reconfigure it for food deliveries if you're still willing to work with us to pilot this thing with us. So I said yes, and you know, I had software experience prior to going to the restaurant industry. So they flew in about a month later with a team from San Francisco, set it up. We were Uber's first restaurant for food delivery for probably 3 or 4 months, and we were that software that we gave them comments on and worked with them on tweaking it. They released it as Uber Rush, which was the precursor to Uber Eats. So anyway, I not only believe in third party instead of doing my own, I believed in it from the start in terms of, I mean, it just makes sense for us, right? Just be out of that business.
So you were really one of the pioneers.
I don't know if they had other projects going on at Uber at the time, but we might have been their first customer.
Gotcha. Very cool. So what are some of the benefits of using third-party delivery companies?
Well, one, you don't have to manage that labor force, right? It's a lot of work to manage that work that properly. Two, and these were all the reasons, right? So they flew in, showed us the software. We turned off our delivery operation that weekend. right? And I'm like, this is the future right here, right? We do not need to be messing with this. What you're availing yourself of in third-party delivery is it's unlimited sales volume, right? So that right there, right, huge. And then secondly, it's unlimited delivery capacity. So, you know, on those two pieces alone, right? So if you look at the chains and they're doing their own delivery operations, no matter how many people they have, they're going to get to a point where, you know, you're looking at 3-hour wait times or just, they can't take anymore, because how can you beat, you know, the capacity of the entirety of the Uber and DoorDash driver force with your staff of whatever you have, you know, 5-10 drivers, who can afford more than that, right? So to me, those two items, gigantic, right? So those would be the main reasons.
So it's really unlimited, the number of orders they can take, mm-hmm. compared to how many you could have have with your own drivers. Right.
Absolutely. We have, I would say our record day in terms of number of orders from one location, we've probably sent out close to 1,000 pizzas before. All
holy cow.
Yeah. So, you know, cause we were the first, there was probably a 3-year period where our solo number one shop, Uber would tell us that we were almost always the number one solo volume Uber Eats restaurant in the world.
Wow.
Out of our main location.
Do you worry that the end product isn't the same as if you were using your own drivers?
Yes. It's not a worry. It's not a worry because it's not theoretical. I experienced it, right? In terms of having our own delivery apparatus and operation versus going over to Uber Eats, right? And there is a difference. It's better.
How so?
Third-party delivery, if managed properly, is just a better driver force. Having our own internal delivery apparatus means, right, we've got to go out and look for drivers, right? Especially at this jobs market, right? The folks who want to work in the restaurant industry is an ever decreasing group of people. The folks who want to work front of the house, right, is one group. The folks who are willing to work in the hot kitchens and tougher working environment in the kitchen is another subset. And then you get to the drivers who work for the pizza operations. What we found was that's the smallest group of all in terms of people who actually want to work those jobs. We go really late on the weekends. We go to 4 a.m. So the quality of the folks that we found who wanted to deliver pizzas from a solo pizza restaurant, that labor pool was very dicey. So as in,
okay,
the number of problems you have in the service industry to begin with, right, in terms of how crazy some of the workers could be, multiply that by many times in terms of the drivers that we were having to deal with. You know, they would take off with a couple of orders, be gone for 3 hours, and would come back, and, oh, I fell asleep somewhere, right? Or just, you know, all sorts of disasters all the time. I have found that the delivery drivers on the third parties, they vet them because, you know, people rate them, right? If they're terrible, they mark them down. We can ban people. So we can get to good quality drivers, and especially at our volume, sometimes we have, you know, drivers who really don't deliver for anybody else. They just sit outside our restaurant and wait for the next order because we have such high volume. That means they don't, you know, for them, it's just dollars earned versus gas spent, right? If they don't have to drive around the city waiting for the next ping, they make a lot more, or they get to keep a lot more money. So from a quality perspective, the folks who drive for us consistently, you know, on a heavy Saturday, we have drivers who will do 40 runs for us, like individually.
Wow.
So they're, you know, they're very professional, and we've not, you know, speaking of this in the aggregate, I would say if you were to ask me straight up, you know, if I were to manage my own driver force versus using the large third-party vendors, and you know, they have varying service levels, right? So I'll just say with the good third-party delivery companies, I don't think having our own drivers, the customer experience is better.
Okay.
Because you're going to have capacity issues. Don't forget on top of that, right?
Right.
So here's the you know, just having worked this business, if, you know, if you're talking about, you know, how would we ever get out 1,000 orders, right? Having our own delivery drivers, that would just be an impossibility.
Right.
If we were to do that on our own, it would only be a fraction of that business that we could handle. And the reality or the nuance of this business is that if we were doing it ourselves, our drivers would have to take 3 or 4 orders at once, right? Because they're just overloaded. And so they would have to go out and deliver 3 pizzas, meaning, you know, the third person is going to get pizzas that are really old because it took just a long time to get that pizza there, right? So definitely, I can say that third party, because of their capacity, is going to, in my opinion, most likely give you a better result with your customers.
How do you work through the fact that for a lot of customers, this you know, third-party delivery company driver is the only touch point they have with your business?
I'm glad you asked that. We actually had that exact discussion last year. Is, you know, we do such heavy volume, and we always have, of third-party deliveries that, you know, the only thing that they know of us is our pizza box and what's inside, you know, the box. So we actually came up with a way to, it's just a kind of a neat, funny thing. We're known, you know, to our customers as being pretty authentic and non-corporate. So this, what we came up with was just kind of pretty on brand for us. So we trademarked a concept. So we call them pizzagrams. Okay. So on our production line, we use food grade pens. So, you know, it's safe to go inside our pizza boxes. But we use a pen to, you know, we have a spot on our pizza boxes to do our quality control check. So we call them a pizza sheriff. It's a handmade. We use deck ovens. We don't use conveyor belts. So, you know, the quality control has to be extremely tight with our pizzas. So whoever the pizza sheriff is, there's a spot for them to put their name as the person who signed off on the pizza. But as we're expecting the pizza, they actually put little notes. It's our thank you notes to our customers. So we'll just draw a heart or, you know, thank you, Mandy. You know, you're the best. We get all sorts of social media tagging all the time. People love it. And it's a chance for us to reach across the barrier of a third party, being in between us and our customers and really just pretty simply, you know, let them know that, hey, a person made this pizza for them on our side, right?
Excellent. That's a really great idea. It's that personal touch that's missing from the delivery. What do you think restaurants do wrong, other restaurants do wrong when it comes to dealing with third-party delivery companies?
Structurally, it's not really a wrong per se, right? It's a transition in the business. And I'll give you the sort of the heart of the problem with a lot of businesses that converted to third party out of need during the pandemic, right? Because, you know, their in-house business went away. So they had to start doing third party delivery. And it's really, you know, the fundamental structure of a traditional restaurant, most restaurants. So if you know, you've got dine-in, you've got your staff, your bartenders and your servers are at 213 tipped, right? So they're tipped employees, and they make a lot of money on tips and tips from the bar business, tips from the in-house food service. But, you know, pre-pandemic, you had this small amount, which was for most restaurants, we're talking about single digits, right? 3%, 4%, 8%. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic was a big number for a lot of restaurant chains that they were approaching 8% in delivery or pickup and delivery business. So the model is made for the people who are front of the house. They were assembling and taking care of the deliveries. There is no tipping for the in-house staff on those deliveries, right? Especially a third-party delivery, the tipping is for the driver, not for the person who's packaging up and working that order. So they are having, this is part of their side work, meaning they're not going to make money off of this, right? So if your restaurant is, okay, well, you make a bunch of money off of your tip business, you're making $25 an hour, we're going to ask you to add handling bartender or server to handle the third party packaging that happens, right? And dealing with the drivers as they come in. If that's your model, you've got somebody who's making $25 an hour servicing their tables and the bar patrons, and you're asking them to care about this side work that they're making nothing off of, right? So it is the last thing they want to be messing with, and right, they want to get back to their bar patron who might drop, a $50 tip on them. So you've got designed in your process people who hate doing that work, and unless you put somebody else at it and not your tipped employees, it's going to be a disaster, right? Because they do not care about that business at all. So you're going to have to hire somebody, pay them, full wages to handle that business so that there isn't this conflict of why am I dealing with this when I can be making, $20-$30 an hour over there. So that would be a big one for me. And then really just thinking through the other pieces in terms of the mistakes is, not understanding that the quality of the product is not the same, right? You're putting it inside a container and somebody's going to eat this thing 30 minutes later. So a lot of the restaurants, I think everybody's had this experience by now, right? You got your $50 PPA fine dining or, higher restaurant that you would never order over Uber Eats because it's a disaster by the time it gets to you, right? Steaks or whatever, it's just not the same because the entirety of the design of that, that menu is meant for coming hot right off the line and you're going to eat it in the next 3 or 4 minutes, not inside a box, with all of the condensation issues and moisture issues that you have to deal with and, sitting in somebody's car and you're eating it 30 minutes to 45 minutes later. Because of their design, and that's, again, not just the servers and bartenders not wanting to deal with it, the whole restaurant doesn't want to deal with it, right? So the people who own it want the extra business. All the workers, they hate this business, right? So to me, the focus has to be, right, you got to sit back and say, if we really want to make third-party delivery a viable thing in our business model, then focus on it, right? You've got to. So what we did right away with Pizza Core is we don't just taste our pizza designs coming hot out of the oven, right? We always test it. Hey, what is this going to be like? Whatever we make, I always say, all right, well, let's have it as a delivered item, right? Package it up, put it in a hot bag or a not hot bag, put it out at room temp, not under heat lamps. You've got your 30-minute, 45-minute delivery time, and let's eat it then, see what happens, right? And if that's not a good product, that's not going to be a viable part of your business.
It used to be that only Chinese and pizza were able to be delivered. Now we've got everything from Cheesecake Factory to McDonald's and Burger King, Arby's, able to be delivered. What are you doing to compete with this influx of competition?
So this is part of our foundational design as a company. And we kind of are ideally built for the current age, even in the pandemic, because we're, from a business model standpoint, we're designed for what's happening right now. And I'll tell you, with the pandemic, it really didn't change our business
too much at all.
The only thing that really happened with our business was that we service windows to at some of our, you know, during the height of the pandemic with masks and everything, we spent the money to put in windows to be able to just serve out of the windows to the drivers in the pickup business. But I would say, you know, the how we spend off competition in terms of design is, if you think through the differences of the restaurant business model, you know, from 10 years ago to today, right? It's a fundamental difference and you know, in the entirety of the concept. And so, you know, let's look at Cheesecake Factory that you mentioned. A gigantic, I don't even know how many items are on that menu, right? So you're talking about a gigantic facility, hundreds of workers, a massive menu, right? And why is the large menu was the attraction, because I can bring in my work party of 10, I can bring in my whole family, and everybody has an option that's going to please them, right? That's why you have this gigantic menu, is there's something for everybody on this menu. So it's a great place for lots of, you know, for people with large parties. That's the old model, and that's the attraction of these large menu places. But to me, in this age, right, if I'm going up against Cheesecake Factory, there's no way I'm losing pizza business to Cheesecake Factory, you know, no matter what kind of effort Cheesecake Factory puts at it, because they've got 1,000 items on their menu. There's no way that they could compete against somebody who only does one product. So we, right now, we're about, after 7 years in the pizza business, we are about to roll out our first appetizer ever. So
wow.
Our business is, we have a couple side salads, we have sodas, we have Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That all accounts for 8% of our sales. 92% of our sales is one product, pizzas. So to me, this is, you know, the current environment of third party, of how people order these days, right? So it's not having 1,000 options for the 10 people who are going to come in together. It's having the best option for whatever product that you're selling, so that when people are on their couch and they're pulling open, you know, their Uber app or DoorDash app, and okay, what do I feel like having tonight? If it's hamburgers, I'm not going to go and pick somebody's mediocre hamburger off their 1,000 item menu, right? Unless I've got kids and I've got to accommodate for that. But if I want hamburgers and I have access to 40 different options on hamburgers, I'm picking the best hamburger, right? And so that's been our model all along, which is, in this world, in this space, you've got to have the best product. So, and the way to do the best product is focus, right? So we do one thing, we make pizzas, and you know, and just ultra high volume, and that's all we focus on, so we can execute. And I think, you know, looking forward to, not to get into another question you might have, but in this business model design, to me, there's another step where all of this is going to get to, right? So you're realistically looking at a cost of between, you know, $8 and $13-$14 for a delivery, right? That's what it costs. No matter if they tell you it's 99 cents or if it's free delivery, the cost is going to be there. With tip, you're looking at $10 to $13 for a delivery, right? And people bury it, right, everywhere. Okay, the taxes plus extra charges, right, that you see in a lot of online, like, you know, the third party deliveries, they'll bury it, right? It's not 99 cents. It's going to end up, delivery alone is going to be about $7, and then you tip on top of that. So there's a next step of this industry, which is, right, the cost is going to go down at some point, right? We know that's where it's heading. So whether it's going to be a combination of drones or automated delivery bots or whatever that is, the cost of delivery at some point in the next 10 years is going to drop probably drastically, right? So if you're a drone, you know, you're paying for a drone that can go from, zip from restaurant to restaurant and house to house, you know, what does the world look like when the cost of delivery is only $2 and there's no tipping, right? And to me, the answer is, if I have drone access to every restaurant in the city and I want pizza, I'm going to go for the best pizza, right? If timing is not an issue, if cost is not an issue now with the delivery cost being negligible at some point, and you take the tipping out of the equation, then why would I ever choose anything but my favorite pizza when I order?
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think that does it for us today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great. It's been very informative. I knew I picked the right person when I was doing third-party delivery. Thanks so much.